You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well. All right, before we get this review and the mirth to follow started, I would like to point out this movie we're reviewing is a documentary called Hail Satan with a question mark. It sounds like the title of a horror comedy, and in many ways it is. I would argue, except maybe the horror part isn't coming from the folks that traditionally you would expect with a title like that. We are going to be saying things in this review that I suspect could offend the more seriously religious in the organized religious sense. So if this is the sort of thing that you find that you're sensitive to, I suspect this is not the review for you to listen to, because guess what? Me and Johnny Neal, we're kind of falling on the side of the Satanists on this one.
Yeah. I kind of doubt that there's that many listeners that are that, you know, the Christian side of things, and make no mistake, it's only the Christian, the so-called Christians, I'm going to use the way they would talk about these so-called Satanists,
right.
Seem pretty close-minded and live in fear, just constant fear of a lot of things. And yet, so many Christians in this movie use Apple computers, which have an apple with a bite taken out of it right there as their logo. So, you know, they don't have a problem with
other
satanic iconography. But, yeah.
Yeah, this is I'm shocked it honestly took this long documentary about the modern satanic church. Now, we're not talking about Aleister Crowley, who, by the way, was never really technically a Satanist. He was a member of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which admittedly uses a lot of satanic iconography.
Check out the big brain on Chris!
And then there's Anton LaVey, who's kind of the biggest, most famous face associated with the Church of Satan from the 60s and 70s, who wrote the Satanic Bible.
Yeah.
And that guy was all about knowing how to play it for the media. But I suspect he was in it largely for the sex and drugs.
Lots and lots of that.
Yeah, it was a very...
He seemed to be having a really good time.
He really was having a good time.
He did not have a constitutional lawyer in this corner.
But only a few years ago, a new breed of Satanist has popped up, which say even Anton LaVey was very clear. We don't actually believe in Satan. We don't actually believe in the Bible either. What we believe in is creating an antagonistic viewpoint to this dominating force of Christianity that's happening in the land and is very dangerous. And I couldn't agree with him more on that sense. And they're using the term Satan as a term of like the adversary. Well, they're like, well, someone needs to stand up to these Judeo-Christian forces that are taking over the government. Now, he was never really political. This new group that's really only what, like maybe 6 or 7 years old now, the Satanic Temple that went from like one location to having, they claim to him, when the movie, over 50,000 members.
And we're global.
Yeah. And are global. Are definitely kind of like, it felt like one of them saw one of those documentaries by the Yes Men. Have you ever seen those?
That's what I felt like too. I had kind of it's got a little bit of a Church of Subgenius, you know, thrown into.
Oh, I'm sure.
A lot of irony and.
Most of them are members of the Church of the Subgenius. The Reverend Ivan Stang has to be hiding in the background there somewhere. But yeah, they were like, this is like Anton LaVey almost had it, but it felt like he got too good distracted with partying,
right.
You know? And also there was sort of a sense with that whole do what thou wilt thing. Like they were a little more aimed on being how cool hedonism is as a philosophy, which is not in and of itself a great philosophy.
So no.
These guys kind of seceded from this even further. And we're like, it's time for us to really turn this into sort of the ultimate A-level trolling effort using the law, against these Christian groups, against themselves, which is exactly the way to do it. Now, I would argue to some degree that, like, there may be something to be lost as well by standing up with the forces of reason, but using the symbology that makes these Christians so autonomically furious and frothing at the mouth.
I gotta say, not just Christians. I mean, just the optics of it, as they say, is a little off-putting for anyone. You know, it's just kind of like, well, if you're putting a lot of effort in the wrong direction, you know, in your personal style and into trying to get your message across. And I don't see you trying to bond with the atheist society or any non-Christian organization.
Right. They're basically trolling and having a big clubhouse of punk rock fun to some degree with all of this. But I can't help but feel to some degree all that aspect really works counter to what their actual goals are. Now, on the same token, have you ever seen them bring on the news an atheist, like, you know, no matter where they're from, they could be a professor of law at Harvard or something, try and argue against a very Christian person who immediately will throw them into the same camp with a Satanist.
Exactly.
Immediately.
Exactly.
We'll just try and sell the audience, this guy's a Satanist. If he's an atheist, he's a Satanist. There's no difference.
And do it again, every very single fearful. Time. It's a very fearful response
I'm not sure there's really that big of a difference, and I think this is where these guys are coming from, who admittedly probably are pretty fun to hang out with.
There were parts of this you could edit. If you could edit this down to 30 minutes, you could have a great episode of Documentary Now.
Yeah.
You know, there was a whole lot of Fred Armisen and Gary Brownstein in there as well, you know? So it's like...
I mean, I've never felt more strongly that I like everything you guys are saying and I like your sense of humor about it, but I feel like you're still missing one essential ingredient here. And I don't know what that is, but you're still doing it wrong.
There's something where you're trolling, where you're not just speaking. Your trolling outweighs your constitutionality, is what I feel.
Yeah, where people, you're going to have trouble being taken but so seriously at a certain point because there's no denying you're non-theistic. You yourselves admit it, which is going to keep you from being balanced on the same level as another religion that claims to be theistic under the law.
And it's a shame that you have to wear a theatrical costume, or not a theatrical, a religious costume.
I mean, it looks like a lot more fun than dressing up to go to a Renaissance festival, I'll tell you that much. Guaranteed these guys have better turkey legs.
Oh, yeah. They probably have goat legs.
They're probably goat legs. Or, you know, there's a lot of pig being present here.
A lot of pig, they definitely have pig heads.
This documentary is directed by Penny Lane. I assume that is an assumed name.
It's where the barber shaves another customer.
Indeed. But Filmmaker Magazine named her one of the 25 new faces of independent film in 2012 for two of her films that were quite successful, Our Nixon and a film called... Well, Our Nixon is about the Super 8 home movies that were confiscated by the FBI during the Watergate investigation.
Oh,
and
wow.
Then Nuts with an exclamation point, which is about John Romulus Brinkley, who was a doctor who attempted to cure impotence by goat testicle transplantation in 1917. Which is crazy.
Yeah.
But this is, I admit, like, I feel like this is long overdue for a look, because I think most people I'm talking about most people across the board, regardless of what they believe in, really have no fucking clue what the Satanic Church is standing for, or what they're supposed to be about, or anything. I mean, if you're born in America, or in many countries, I feel like there's an ingrained sense of whether or not you think, even if you think of yourself as an atheist, there's still a minor amount of fear that comes up inside you of the sense of identifying with or paying too much attention to a group that openly calls themselves Satan.
I have a hard time with anybody who calls themselves a church of anything.
Right. I mean, it's in the same sense as the subgenius, they're not. You know,
right?
But these guys are.
But when you
doing
take,
it for a practical political purpose,
and when you take something, I mean, there's no mention of subgeniuses in most people's view of the world. But
no,
you know,
sadly,
but everybody has Satan. You know, like there's automatically that's bad. Every temptation.
We used to drive our librarian in school crazy because we would print out pictures of Bob Dobb's face, who's the patron saint of the Church of Subgenius, and in every reference book anywhere in the library, we'd hide it where it would be filed under Bob. Put the picture in there. We should get fired.
Who is doing this? Who is this person?
You know what you are? You're a Satanist.
Am I?
Well, by definition, you're rebelling against
everything. I'm trolling,
yeah.
Kind of trolling. Except they're trolling for the sake of absurdity.
I have a hard time with anybody labeling themselves anything.
Yeah.
You know, like if somebody... You know what I mean? It's just... I'm kind of like...
I think I always tend to feel like the moment you label yourself, you've limited yourself.
I'm the Groucho Marx of I don't want to be a member of any club that would have me as a member, you know?
Yeah, kind of me too. That doesn't change the fact that this movie is like I said, enlightening to what these arguments are. It's infuriating and scary. You see the degree of hypocrisy going on with the Christians in this country, and not across the board Christians. Don't lose your mind. I'm talking about these really hard. I'm talking about people who protest outside abortion clinics.
Yeah.
I'm talking with pictures of mutilated fetuses, and I'm talking about people who believe it's okay to, which is one of the main topics of this movie, to put a giant statue of the Ten Commandments on a courthouse lawn.
That were paid for by Cecil B. DeMille. That was a weird little revelation that most of the Ten Commandments that are in capitals and courthouses across the country were used in promotion of the Charlton Heston movie.
Yeah.
The Ten Commandments. Which, and, I mean, who knew that?
You know? Yeah, I had no idea. I feel like I have, as having paid a lot of attention to American Christian hypocrisy and to movies, I would have picked up on that fact.
Yeah, that just seems like one of those ironic things that would have popped up.
How did I miss that one?
And another thing that when you think of a Satanist, or you see these guys who are all in black, and a lot of them have the death metal makeup, and they, you know,
they all have very silly
names. They're not a
pretty
sight for the most part.
No.
They, you would think, oh, anarchist, nihilist. No, these are very hopeful people. These are very, you know, pro-constitutional law, America being a secular nation. And that's what their tenets, you know, make up for your bad ways. Everything about them is such a positive message. You know, if this movie was in Braille, everything would be sold very easily across the board.
Right.
But to watch these guys, it's like, dude, put the sunglasses back on. You know,
true. Yeah, their main leader has this really, you can't stop looking at it, bad eye.
Oh.
Like a milky and looking off
milky
to the side.
Milky and off to the side,
like,
yeah.
Like, I don't want to, like, I understand that would, like, it's horrible that you have to, I don't know what happened. They never even address
it. No, they never address
it. It's got to be a thing you're not happy about. At the same time, you're, like, making a public figure thing, put the sunglasses
on. It's, you know how much more of a badass you would look like if you had an eye patch on?
Yes.
You know, like the Hathaway
shirt.
Who
wouldn't want an excuse to wear an eye patch?
Exactly. It's not like the guy's making a living playing pool.
You get an eye patch with an upside-down cross, like, on it or something?
That's
dude, that's
better.
That's awesome. Do that. That'd be badass. And then if people were like, oh, you probably don't even need that patch. You could take it off and then make them go like, oh,
really?
The evil eye.
Yeah. It's you've got the best weapon in your arsenal is wearing an eye patch with a little bit of mystery. Suddenly you wouldn't just look like a oily-skinned guy that people feel sorry for. You'd look like a badass revolutionary.
Well, regardless, these guys do, in fact, put their money where their mouth is and actually go and do charitable events and stuff. I mean, they do. When they look at their list of tenants, you're like, these are make more sense than lists, similar lists I've seen from any religion, because they're acknowledging the mistakes that come with being intentionally vague with lists in other religions. They're hyper-specific rules for living life by compassion and understanding towards all people that are just like to the letter. And no, we don't, and we mean no exceptions.
Well, you know, the Ten Commandments, I don't have them all memorized, but half of them are just, don't be a dick, you know.
And the other half are ridiculous.
The other half are all about God, or all about, you got to pray to God. You can't pray to anybody but God.
Yeah.
Don't even think about another God.
Yeah.
Make sure you think about God.
And also, stop checking out the ass on your brother's wife.
Yeah, right. Don't covet, which is, you know, don't be jealous if your neighbor has a better ox than you.
Which, once again, is like, what does that have to do with law?
Yeah, they're all just, you know, detachment. Get away from your greed. Get away from your murderous
things. It's a valid point to say this has no basis being on any sort of federal or state-owned property, which I completely agree with. And they love to go back to, as the movie brings up, and I wish they'd gotten into more specifics of, they're like, oh, but you know, like it says on our dollar bill, on God we trust, and it says in our like Pledge of Allegiance, like, dude, all that stuff didn't you happen till the 50s and 60s.
Right.
Everyone likes to act like that's the first thing they did. The founding father, George Washington, says it has to say God on it. That was exactly the opposite of what was going on. It wasn't till the Red Scare against the communists, or the, oh, atheist, godless communists, that America doubled down on there. We've got to put God in everything. And Christians started deciding that there was a war against them. The whole world was out to get them, which continued, as the movie discusses, with the satanic panic of the 80s, where everything was Satan that wasn't overtly Christian. Yeah. You know, I remember a teacher I had let us play D&D during recess and almost got fired because of it, because there were these groups that were like, that's from Satan. I mean, in all seriousness, they were like, really believed the shit. And with obviously no actual attention to the specifics of anything.
I flirted with baptism for a brief period in high school, mostly because there was nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. And my friends went to church.
Plus, so it was hot. So you were like, yeah, give me some water.
I did get baptized. Like, okay, I'll do that. And, you know, it didn't take, let's just say. But, our minister spoke. It was when Kiss was on their Alive 2 tour, and he had actually been in a hotel and rode an elevator with the guys, a couple of guys from Kiss, and he said to them, like, I've heard that your band is called Knights in Satan's Service, and they were like, we're Jews. Well, we're Jews.
People have been saying that forever, and it's like, how many times can they say, it really isn't? What does it stand for? It stands for the word Kiss. Yeah. It's a rock and roll band.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you.
Why we're too hairy to be glam.
Yeah. It's like, it doesn't stand for anything satanic. All the songs are exactly the same lyrics as every other rock and roll band about, like, oh, this girl in high school broke up with me and I'm upset. It's the same shit.
Yeah. Exactly. What was funny, he still made a sermon out of it.
Yeah.
That though he could say that they're not devil worshipers, that they had told him they weren't devil worshipers, they were still sinners for promoting the imagery of devil worship.
Right.
And I'm like, really? Just because of the boots?
I mean, I don't. Show me
where. Like, nobody can win with you, can they?
Where's the point where it says, I mean, these are specifically satanic worship? I don't see it.
Yeah, no.
But that's the point, is this sort of thing has continued, and now it's gotten to the point where there's lots of groups who say openly, the moment you question their arguments to incorporate Christian doctrine into legal systems, you are therefore trying to oppress them like the Nazis oppressed the Jews. They're usually using like terms like white genocide and things like that.
What did the guy's shirt say? Globalism is just another word for genocide?
Something like that.
An old white dude. Which, by the way, this movie has a surplus of white dudes. It's
old white dudes, yep. Like, people looking very,
on
very
both sides of the argument. There was, like, one black dude who seemed like a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, we liked that guy. We're like, I would be, he even had the coolest name. It was like, what was it? It was like Hector Von Doom or something like
Dietrich.
That.
Dietrich Von Doom.
I was like, dude, that guy's badass.
He's like, count me in. Sign me up.
I want him to be my dungeon master. This paints a picture, obviously, of just wildly intolerant side of Christianity with absolutely no counterbalance. And I'll say that as a criticism. There's no Christian interviewed anywhere in this film who's like, has a different opinion other than these people should be shot on sight, Satanists, right?
Yeah, you're right. There's no, it's kind of shocking how so many people will consider themselves a Christian and not defend anybody else's right to have any other point of view.
Or an American, for that matter. Specifically, like, you're an American, you feel like that's your first duty, is to defend these constitutional rights, but they're like, no.
No, that's not me.
Only Christians get constitutional rights, not anybody else.
And even their interpretation of the Constitution is like, well, no, they should represent or recognize that the Ten Commandments are anti-First Amendment, just having a monument to that on government grounds is anti-First Amendment. It's just so basic. And it's great to see how often they lose, when they brought that up in the documentary.
I think that's a lot of what's going on here, though, is that they need, with the Satanists, they feel like, this is absurd.
Yeah.
That this is even a discussion that we have to have.
Yeah.
And so, like, fine, you want to be absurd? We'll be absurd. And I get that sense of anger of just, like, throwing your hands up in the air. It's like, you guys have taken all of my other options away from me. Now I have to put on a giant pair of horns, walk around half naked, and say really silly things in order to get your attention. I get it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still like, is this still the best way of doing it?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
I have to say, I liked the way the documentary started with just four or five people, you know, in in Florida. Hail Satan. Bless Rick Scott, governor of Florida, who looks like a lizard person.
Hey, oh my God. Immediately, you're like, there's no way that guy's not a lizard person.
He looks like somebody dipped him in a candle or something. Everything about him just looks off. And they're just, Hail Satan, Satan bless Rick Scott. But there's only four people there.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad.
And the guy was an actor. They had to hire an actor. He just said, well, I couldn't have an actor anymore. It's like, oh, that was an actor?
Yeah.
And they even show him in a costume shop picking out robes and horns and everything. And then it moves on, and they bought a big old house in Salem. They've got some money coming in.
Yeah,
I can't imagine what that property costs in Salem.
Oh, yeah.
And then, have you ever been to Salem?
No.
I went to just as a quick aside, I went to the Museum of the Salem Witch Trials, which is an old building, and that's kind of where they had some stuff. I'm not sure that that's where the exact same place, because it's been a few hundred years. But the girls that take your ticket and seat you and all that, that run the place, are in period costume, right? Mm-hmm. And then they reenact the Salem Witch Trials, and they're the ones who are also the actors of the accused. So they're... The men that are the accusers are just mannequins in pilgrim costumes, and their voices come over the PA. And then the girls that are the actors are, you know, very, just very expressive. And then a bird flies in. That's a historical record that a bird flew in. And that was one of the things that it was.
Oh, no.
Because a bird flew in. Yeah. So the chick is like.
Where is that written down? Come on.
The chick is acting like there's a bird in her hair and stuff. While the men are just standing there stoic. You know, it was really a great effect. It was like, well, they did it because there's no money, you know, but it came across as really great theater, just having the men be mannequins in store-bought pilgrim costumes. It was really something. I recommend it. That's your Salem travel tip for today.
I'm surprised there wasn't more Salem stuff in this movie, considering.
I kind of was, too, given that they decided to move to Salem.
Well, like
and
I said,
some prime Massachusetts is not a cheap state.
There's stuff that they dodge around that, not like for any reason, I feel like would hurt them, just would like, you think they're going to deal with more that they don't. Like, yeah, Salem, the witch trials, like you're like, oh, like you're talking about this history of oppression, of fear, and you're not going to bring up the Salem witch trials in any specific way as part of it? Or like I said, the thing in the 50s and the people terrified of communism, they only vaguely go into that. They never even overtly say the fact that this In God We Trust literally didn't exist until that time.
And even the 80s, when they brought up the beginning of the recognition of the sex scandals in the Catholic Church and the Satanic Panic and the D&D, they just kind of walked away from it, you know?
Like, you don't want to spend more time on that? And honestly, the movie, I feel like, circles back in on itself too many times with the fight for this Baphomet statue, which is the idea they want to, because the Ten Commandments, they're like, we have the right to put up this statue of the devil right next to it, like equal to show equality, which I get, which great A-level trolling, you know, terrific. Yeah. They don't really care if the statue's up. They just want to make sure the Ten Commandments statue isn't up.
It's a great prop.
Yeah, it's a great prop. But, like, ultimately, the movie spends way too much time on the one thing. Because it was still going ongoing as we speak, as far as I know.
So. Yeah, because it seemed to touch on a little bit of investigative journalism, and then it would just step back. Like, yeah. I would like to know who somebody had to be behind the Satanic Panic,
right?
You know, and
I think it's just one of those things where, like, it's not a single person, it's just one of those things that builds, like the Jungian unconscious. It's like one person says this, and then another person read that and says this, and then before you know it, there's people hallucinating things and making wild claims. I mean, it was the same thing with the Salem, what happened in Salem, you know, back in the day. It was like this panic spread, and suddenly people were seeing Satan everywhere,
and people were believing children's testimonies, and, you know, teenagers are getting convicted in Arkansas and over the t-shirts they wore, and you know, it's just it seemed like it could have gone a little deeper to me,
Or at the very least felt more balanced on each of these things, because it does. It spends a hell of a lot of time on this goddamn statue.
It did have a pretty cool, you know, behind the scenes, the making of the statue.
True.
Spoiler, Iggy Pop is the abdomen of Satan.
Right? Of course he is. But, I mean, it really kind of runs that story element into the ground much more than it should and it hurts the film. And I would have liked to have seen the perspective of moderate Christians who were like, I'm offended by these other Christians too.
I would even liked to have heard the attorney that represented them. Mm-hmm. All you got from him was his testimony, opening testimony in, I guess that was the Arkansas Capitol. We never even got who he was. He just suddenly, he's the attorney.
He's the guy, you're not going to get an interview with that guy?
Yeah, exactly. the other guy that, that you saw wearing a suit. First, you just think he's another guy that's in the church, and then suddenly he kind of comes across as a lawyer. And it's kind of like, well, I'd like a little more information on who these people are, just if it's significant. I don't need to know, oh, that chick's a stripper and that guy's a tattoo artist, and pretty much that's what all of them look like. So
yeah, at the very least look like,
And also, this is one of those movies where you don't get to see the people you want to see naked take off their clothes.
Only the ones you would rather not.
Exactly.
It's the same rule at Renfest. So, anyway, let's get a final thoughts, Johnny. What do you think?
I'm going to give it 3 members of KISS and how many exploding drummers did Marilyn Manson have?
I don't know. Was there a bunch of exploding drummers? You think of Spinal Tap?
Oh, sorry. Spinal Tap. That's what I'm thinking. He looks like a guy who would sacrifice a couple of drummers.
He does. He may have. I really don't know.
I'll give it, let's go 8 goats out of 10.
Okay. I think this movie, at least for the first half of it, is downright entertaining as hell.
It's very entertaining.
Yeah. There's a point where, like I said, it just starts belaboring the point where you're like, okay, we get it. Can we move on? No, we're going back, huh? Okay. You're like, this doesn't need to either A, be as long as it is, which is only 95 minutes, but still, it definitely doesn't need to be as long as it is, or it needs to spend some more time on some of these topics they barely touched on more than they do. But I do think this is entertaining. It's infuriating. It's a movie I wish more people would actually see that probably need to see it, but those are exactly the people who are never going to watch it, who are going to condemn it sheerly because of the fact of its existence. I give it 7.5 out of 10 heads of the church in Detroit that I wish we had seen more of, because damn. She's a looker.
Yeah, I liked her. And she was a radical. I kind of wanted a little bit more radical.
Yeah, they're like, she's like, those guys are boring in the rest of the Church of Satan. I'm doing some crazy off-the-wall shit here.
You know what would have lifted it? And I don't know, we're kind of done, but just interview somebody from the ACLU. You know, just somebody that you could go, okay, well, let's get a neutral territory guy.
That's what I'm saying, like a moderate Christian. And that would, like,
ACLU is kind of a good standard bearer of, you know, we know who side they're
on. Talk to some people in those towns who were the leaders in other non-Christian religions, how they felt about this whole situation.
Yeah.
Would have been good, but, you know, they were going for the funny, I think, over the, you know, they're going for the kind of irreverent yes men, like I said, type of thing, more than they were going for like a serious exploration of this. So,
I think that it, in some ways, it gets better as it goes along, and in others, it kind of loses its steam.
Probably much like being part of a satanic church.
Yeah, I think that would be like a fun weekend, and then you're like, okay, those guys are creepy.
Yeah, I'm done.